wondering what you were going to do. And that's perfect. Perfect.
A little Buster Poindexter for you as we kick off Pep Talk.
Exactly. Three key words in that song.
Hot. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. So glad you could join us this morning. As you can hear singing in the background, our very own Mike Wiggins, who is the host of The Garden Line, which is happening every Tuesday at this time, 9 to 10, right here on News Radio 92.3. But I'm over it. Hot. I know this. I live in Florida. It's August. It's always hot. But when we're looking at heat indexes of 115 to 120, I've never even heard. I mean, I used to think 100 was a big deal, but now they're acting like, heat index today, about 115. Yeah. I'm thinking, what?
Well, when we talk about heat indexes, I want to say, well, what's the temperature? What's the real temperature?
But even 96.
And I was going to say high 90s, and that's very, very hot.
Every day.
Exactly. And so what do we do?
Correct. How does that affect your yard, your lawns, your gardens?
We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, because I think there's some steps we need to take, or really some steps we do not need to take because of this intense heat. The number one thing is to take care of yourself.
That's true.
I mean, hydrate. Don't get out there at noon and start weeding the lawn.
not a good idea.
The audience is saying, come on, Mike.
You'd be
Nobody's going to do that.
You'd be surprised.
Well, maybe so, but I'll tell you what, Meg, you just got to be careful.
I don't know. Even this morning, I think it was already almost 90 at about 8 o'clock. I mean, it's not like it's cool in the mornings, particularly. I think the low was, 86 or something, or 81?
I think we did this last year, too.
Probably.
I think we had the same thing.
I guess I have a short memory. It always surprises me every August when it's this bad.
You always forget the bad things.
Yeah, but the weather has been a little crazy lately. We had hail in Denver, Colorado, just a couple days ago.
And floods in the Midwest. God,
just strange.
Just tragic. But there's so much we could talk about. Let's get off guarding for just a second and just encourage everybody to vote.
Yes, today is the day, election day.
Today is the day. There are a couple of really important races. I don't even have a ballot in front of me. However, we've got the mayor's race.
Very important.
Very, very important. And one of the most important is appointed versus elected school superintendent.
Yes, sir.
That's very controversial. I think Andrew did a little phone.
He did. He just did a whole little kind of a poll with his listeners.
Kind of a poll, and it looked like one side was pretty heavy. So, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. But this is what it's all about. You know, if you have complaints or you have ideas, you have anything you want to say, it starts with voting.
And we know,
got to vote.
We're very aware of the November elections, but these primaries are very important.
Oh, my goodness,
especially when you're talking about the mayor.
Oh, absolutely. Very, very important. So, get out and vote. It's
polls are open.
Polls are open. Go early when it's cooler.
Mm-hmm,
that's all relative, of course.
I did hear on the news you just need the normal ID that you usually bring with you. So that hasn't changed yet.
Exactly.
So you can still vote.
Exactly. So, and I always like to thank, because I know some of them,
mm-hmm,
the poll workers.
Me too.
The poll workers are there all day, many times into the night, and they do such a great job. And they're courteous,
mm-hmm,
and they make voting in Escambia County easy. And I just want to thank them for what they do.
I'm proud of our system. It's always efficient. I've never really had to wait too long.
No.
So it's always been pretty smooth sailing.
That's exactly right. So in any event, everybody get out and vote. It is back to school. We have to be careful with our driving, with all the little ones out,
mm-hmm,
there, especially those catching the bus. Sometimes
don't have your head in your phone. Heads up. Keep your eye on the road for
up.
Little beings running out into the streets.
Exactly. And finally, you're right, Meg, going back to all these storms, the lightning has just been amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
So be so careful. All our golfers know better.
Mm-hmm.
They know when to say, hey, enough's enough.
Right.
We're going to get out of here. But no matter what we do, be so cognizant of the fact that lightning is very dangerous. So That's that.
Okay.
That's
so we got all, the heat advisory on, the voting.
All our social issues are covered for the morning. It's nice being with you, Meg.
Yes.
We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
No.
Y'all are
no,
on your
no,
own.
No,
oh, okay.
No. We do have some things to talk
yes,
about.
Yes, we do. I want to hear about how do you keep your yard from just turning brown in this heat?
Well, I think...
That's my question.
Well...
I mean, so far I look around and people are doing a pretty good job. I mean, people here seem to know what to do.
Oh, absolutely. The heat is not necessarily going to damage your yard unless you simply don't water. We always talk about our three times a week. That's mm-hmm. a good time to do it. Well, I think we probably need to bump that up a little bit. I'm not sure every day, but pretty close to that, depending on where you live. Especially if you live Gulf Breeze,
mm-hmm.
Southern part of the city, you're going to have to water a little bit more than if you live a little bit further north.
Well, the North Pensacola, they do get more of those afternoon thunder showers.
They get more of those,
stuff.
And their soil will hold water just mm-hmm. a little bit better. But
further south, not as much.
Yeah, but you've got to get out there and water. And if you do, you'll be fine. You got to remember, a lot of our grasses grow mainly down in South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of the sod growers are. So the hot weather is not really going to bother your lawn if you water it enough. And so if you have any questions about should I start it today or should I skip a couple of days, don't skip a couple of days.
Right.
Because this weather will break.
Mm-hmm.
This weather will break. And these thunderstorms we're getting are just quick, quick rain. And it starts, and then it's over, and that really doesn't do that much good.
It doesn't get very deep in the soil, does it?
Yeah, exactly. We need that nice, slow, penetrating water mm-hmm. to get down into the roots of the grass. So that's what, when it comes to our watering, if we're going to water three or four times a week for 30 minutes, bump it to 45 minutes. Let's really get that water down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can back off once this weather breaks, and it will.
So someone just texted in already. If you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, all you got to do is text it in at 850-437-1620. First question up this morning, what about watering potted plants? Does that change too?
Well, I
think... Especially they're outdoors.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Well, personally, I think it does change
mm-hmm.
because the container plants are going to dry out quicker. Keep in mind that your plants in the ground, are going to probably have more water, more soil that holds water mm-hmm. all around them. If it's in a container, you're really exposed exactly to the heat. The heat is around the entire root ball of the plant. So, I the old Garden Line scientific method of checking on your potted plants is very complicated. Take your index finger and stick it in that dirt. If it's moist, you're cool. If it's not, water it.
Very wise, very sage advice.
And also, we also have talked over the years about many of us, including myself, have signal plants.
Mm.
The old bush daisy is a good one. My hibiscus are a good one. When those leaves start looking like dog ears,
mm-hmm.
just hanging there, water quickly. Most of those plants will bounce back
right.
from the lack of water. But if you let it go too long, then you're really going to have some problems. But, yes, pay extra attention to those container plants.
My Irish grandmother, and I think I've said this before, used to say that the plants will tell you when they're thirsty because they take their little leaves and they turn them upwards for the rain to come in their little cups.
They're begging for rain.
Yes, that's what she said.
A wise woman, I'll tell you right now.
We're going to take a quick break here, but before we do, got a fun little comment here from one of our listeners that says to Mike, it's been so hot here lately, the tropical storms don't even want to come here.
Well said. That was very, very true.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line on Pep Talk in just a minute. Get those questions in now, 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Don't forget to vote today if you're just tuning in. Very important.
Very important.
This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. And if you've got a question or comment, please text it in at 850-437-1620. We're talking about dealing with the heat in our gardens this summer and especially this week. Oh, just got a question in, Mike. Do you think mowing St. Augustine about an inch higher than usual in this heat would be a good idea?
Well, I think that would not be a bad idea at all. We always like around 4 inches for St. Augustine. And if you went to 5, I think you'd be in pretty good shape. That would be a good thing to do. The worst thing you can do is to scalp it in this heat. You talk about a lawn turning brown quick. That could happen. So whatever you do, do not lower that lawnmower. I don't believe our Garden Line listeners, any of them, would do that. I don't. I think everybody knows that with St. Augustine especially, you've got to have it mowing at high.
Mm-hmm.
And if you jump up an inch in this heat, I don't think that would hurt one thing, as long as your watering schedule is proper.
Right.
So I think that's a good idea.
Okay, very good question. If you've got a question or comment for Mike this morning, 850-437-1620. So water more, that's a given. Any other tips that you can give us?
Well, there are a couple of things. What I thought we might do today, if we have time, is we've been talking through the last, 3 months, about our checklist for summer.
Yes, that's right.
Technically, the checklist that I have call September the beginning of fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it might be fun to kind of go through some of our checklists for summer.
Oh.
To one, see how we did.
Okay.
And number two, see if we need to continue to do that considering the heat.
Well, our fall is very different from, say, Michigan's fall.
Really? Really?
When does our fall start? In January?
Exactly. I just remember used to go back to school at Agnes McReynolds or even PHS.
After Labor Day,
Yes. No air conditioning.
Correct. And to do that here in the South, you'd think they would be smart enough to start after Labor Day, but no.
That's right. Middle of August. That's exactly right. But on this list, just give you an example. One of the first things on our checklist for summer was to fertilize your blooming plants as needed with a granular or liquid fertilizer. That was great advice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what one should do. There's no doubt about that. However, a lot of the experts have now said that the liquid may be the best. Use granular for your first fertilization in the early spring, then come back with a liquid, like Miracle-Gro.
Okay.
It comes, you can buy it in a container, it's ready to hook up to your hose and just spray away. With this heat, I don't think I would do that. I think maybe putting that nitrogen on those leaves in this intense heat could easily do more damage than just leaving it alone here as we go into the fall. So I think that checklist for summer was valid and has always been valid. But I think with this heat, and we are approaching technically the end of summer, I think I might hold off on that liquid fertilizer, maybe even the granular fertilizer on my blooming plants. What's the key word for even your plants, just like your turf,
mm-hmm.
is water. It's water. Keep them well watered until this weather breaks.
Okay. Well, we've got Sue on the line. She's calling in this morning to ask you a question, Mike, and it's right on topic. Go ahead, Sue.
What do you say, Sue?
Oh, good morning. I've got some Miracle-Gro all mixed up in my sprayer, all ready to go out and do it. And then I thought, it's so hot, maybe I shouldn't. So
my opinion on that, Sue, is don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it, to be honest with
you.
You know, we're getting into, when we get into September, we can do some fall fertilization, that type of thing. However, I think with this heat, what did you say the heat index was?
I think 115
degrees
yesterday.
I think putting those chemicals on the leaves of whatever plant you were going to spray could easily be the wrong thing to do. So I think I'd hold off on that. I'm sorry you've got it all mixed up and ready to go.
I hope it sits there okay and stays strong. But anyway, no, I thought as I'm doing this, you know, my best ideas come at the end. To go out, and I think,
uh-oh. But let me give you one solution to make you feel better. You ready? Pick a plant that may not be that important to you, and go ahead and do it, and see what happens. See if your mixture helps it. makes it perk up, or does it take it in the other direction? So I would, you know, go play with it. I wouldn't do some of my real important plants that are in containers or in the ground. However, give it a shot, and then you have some homework to do. That is to let Meg and I know how it went when you sprayed that those chemicals on those plants.
Oh, okay. We want an update.
We need an update.
I kind of usually spray them in the evening.
That's smart. Or early morning. That's the best time to water, of course. And that brings us to Sue about watering your lawn and your plants. If you water them early in the morning, you're going to get better use of the water. If you water at noon today, it's going to evaporate and it's not going to get down deep into your turf.
I've got my sprinkler set to go on like about 4 o'clock in the morning.
That is so smart. That is exactly where you need to be. So okay.
All right, thank you, Sue. Go to it.
And remember now, next week we want to hear what happened, okay?
Yes, sir. I'll spray a plant and go out, and the next morning it's Jack and the Beanstalk.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Sue. Thank you, dear.
Sue, fun talking to you. Right. Call us again.
We appreciate you listening.
Okay.
This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. It's the Garden Line with our gardening expert, Mike Wiggins. So if you have a question or comment, please send it on in, 850-437-1620. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with Pep Talk. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our expert is Mike Wiggins, gardener extraordinaire for many, many, many years, and former mayor of Pensacola, the city of Pensacola. So what's your message, former mayor, for today for our listeners?
Vote.
There you go.
Vote. Go vote. It's so important. The mayor's job in Pensacola is a very important job. So much going on. It's really a very important time to get out and vote for the candidate of your choice.
Absolutely. So you heard it from the mayor's mouth, and this is the mayoral race today. So your vote matters. So
it does. Just
take a moment. There are usually not long lines in primaries, so it's a good day to go out. And in the meantime, we got a text from our friend Karen. She is with the Garden Club, and we are so happy because she keeps us posted, Mike, on all the things that are going on. And this Thursday, August 20th, she says, "Meg and Mike, thank you for being so supportive of the Pensacola Federation of Garden Clubs by promoting our events, and we are happy to do that. Could you please remind your listeners that we will be hosting a membership tea this Thursday, August 20th, from 1 to 3 at the Garden Center, and that's over there on 1850 North 9th Avenue. They're going to have 10 garden circles there, which is so cool. They'll have members there to visit with attendees about what the different circles are planning to do for the upcoming year. So we will have tea and finger foods for guests. We hope to see you there," and that's from Karen. That sounds like fun.
Oh, Karen, thank you very much.
Garden circles. So we're talking about all the different, like, hibiscus groups or rose clubs, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. There's one just in Gulf Breeze.
Uh-huh.
But to me, for a city of our size, to have 10 very active garden clubs is amazing.
It is amazing.
Just amazing. And that many of them have been around for decades. This is not like something new. So if you're interested, especially if you're a newcomer to Pensacola, go to the Garden Center.
Great way to meet people.
Oh, and just talk to some of these groups, and you may find one that's doing projects and such that you really can embrace and may want to join up. So we really appreciate the garden clubs. They always have been good to us on the Garden Line of keeping us informed so we can inform the public of what's going on.
So again, this Thursday, August 20th, 1 to 3 at the Garden Center. You can't miss it. It's a beautiful little building. You'll see it on North 9th Avenue, 1850 North 9th Avenue. You can't miss it.
Can't miss it. A lot of events other than Garden Center.
That's right.
Our Garden Club events are held there at the Garden Center. So most of us know where that is.
Yes. So get over there and check
it
out.
Go to it. Go to it. Absolutely.
All right. We're going to another half hour with the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins coming up here after the news. So if you've got a question about the heat or how do I take care of my plants or anything, some people have gardens going right now with vegetables. And I suspect this affects the tomatoes, right?
No doubt.
Yeah, got a list of tips.
Well, I was going to work our way through our checklist for summer.
Okay.
To see how we did and what we need to do.
Okay. So Stick with us. We will be back with the Garden Line right here on Pep Talk. This is Pensacola's expert panel, and we have the expert with us, Mr. Mike Wiggins, our gardener extraordinaire. You can also re-listen to this podcast anytime online at News Radio 92.3. Just click on podcasts. Click on Pensacola Expert Panel and you'll see the Garden Line, or you can click on his special space, the Garden Line. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg. Welcome back to the Garden Line. We are here on Tuesdays from 9 to 10. Got a whole nother half hour to answer your questions about gardening and the heat. Mike's got a, Wiggins is our host. He's got a checklist for us. And we did have a question coming in as we were in the break here from our friendly and lovable newsman, David Wayne. Hey, David.
Well, hello there.
came in and poked his head in the studio and had a question for us. So we're going to put you on the air, buddy.
Okay, now David, it seems like you've had limited success growing tomato plants. Tell us why that is.
Yeah, well, David.
I have had terrible luck with tomatoes. So I've been here for 5 years now. Every summer comes around, spring comes around, I always go out and buy a handful of tomato plants. One year I had 30 of them.
Get out of here.
30?
Yeah, 30?
I had them all across my yard. I thought with 30 plants, I'm guaranteed to have at least some dumb luck, right? None. I have not had a single fresh tomato from my garden.
David, did you even grow some of the little cherry tomatoes, little small tomatoes?
Those
sometimes are easier to grow.
The only one I had any luck with was the, what do they call it, the Everglades. The little, the Everglade one?
Everglade?
Are those artificial ones? Or?
No, it's like
plastic one?
I don't know. I bought it at the farmer's market. It was it grows naturally down in the Everglades, so it's acclimated to our Florida, South Florida. But,
What we need to do is have a special bit in the next couple of weeks on how David can grow fall tomatoes.
I want to be in that club too because I've not
we'll
had
write
success
down
either.
Step by step.
It's been a different problem every year though, so it's not the same thing. So the first year they just all burned up. The second year I got everything got devoured by hornworms.
Oh no!
The third year I think they burned up again. Fourth year I might have given up and just not.
Dave, let me ask you a question.
But this year, my toddler has decided she loved picking them off and eating them before they ever got ripe. So took everything off the plants before I got it.
Oh, well, we didn't know that.
That's the toddler factor. That's a whole other topic.
Exactly. Oh, man.
All right, David.
We're going to grow some fall tomatoes for David here.
I'm in. You do it, David, I'll do it with you.
All right,
we'll see what we can do.
I'm ready. Let's try it. I'll do anything.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. 30 plants and... they're all gone.
I'm sorry.
The only question I was going to ask David, does his sprinkler system go out to his garden?
Oh, that's a good...
I put one of those little irrigation deals in from the hose that runs through and had the little sprinklers. I did the whole thing. I've tried everything. I'm telling you, I've got a curse.
We're in the same club. I'm telling you, curse. I totally relate.
I'm going to bring in one of those, witch doctors to dance around and cleanse the bad juju.
I know one of those. We'll have him on the show.
Yeah, he's sitting right here.
We'll invite him in.
All right, thanks so much, David. You do a wonderful job with the news, and we appreciate you so much.
Is he the best ever?
Yes, sir.
What?
All right. Well, I feel better. I know I'm not alone.
No. That's funny.
Okay, but you've got some tips for us now you were going to share with us about summer.
Well, I was just going to go down through the checklist for summer.
Okay.
And the number two was check your plants and lawns for insects and disease. That does not go away with the hot weather. Keep in mind that so many of the insects that do bother and destroy lawns are very, very tropical. So this hot weather is right, that's their cup of tea, especially problems near the street. We've talked about this. Mm-hmm. Near the street, near sidewalks, because that means that turf that's adjacent to those areas is even warmer. So you've got to be careful. You've got to watch out for the two bad actors.
Mm-hmm.
One is chinch bugs. Chinch bugs are going to leave you with a brown, burned-out area. You're going to say, with this heat, my sprinkler system not getting there, but it easily could be chinch bugs. Real quick deal on that one. dig up about a 4-inch plug out of there, mm-hmm. out of that area, right on the edge. Don't do it where the grass is dead. Do it right on the edge. Put it in a bucket of water. Hold it down. And if it's chinch bugs, they'll come crawling up the edge of that bucket. And the little bitty black insects with a gray on their back, their wings, but you really can't tell that. But if you've got one, you've got millions. So you need to treat them. A good granular insecticide would not be a bad idea. Sod webworms are a little easier to diagnose. Mm-hmm. Walk out in your yard on a Monday, and your yard's beautiful. You're watering it, even though it's hot, it's great. You walk out on Tuesday, and it looks like a herd of goats
driving
through your yard because these sod webworms come up and they chew the blades.
Wow.
They're big notches all in the blade,
mm-hmm.
and they just kind of get, the spots get bigger and bigger and bigger. The bad news about chinch bugs is sometimes it's hard for your grass to come back from that. Sod webworms, because they're eating just the blades of grass,
mm-hmm.
many times your grass will recover from sod webworms. But that's on our checklist for summer, is to look at for those problems, and that does not go away with the heat we're having now.
Okay.
Even check it a little bit closer.
Okay. What else is on that checklist, sir?
Oh, man. What's
got just a minute or two here to go?
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Spray your roses once a week for black spot and mildew. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That was on our checklist for summer. I don't know about you, Meg, but I doubt seriously if many of our listeners go out every week and spray their roses for black spot and mildew. Those are problems on roses on many of the, I'm just going to say, more traditional varieties
mm-hmm.
of roses. Your Mr. Lincoln, your JFK, your Delight. Many of those roses that we've grown for years, tea roses is a good example, get black spot, which is literally a black spot on all the leaves.
Right.
And mildew looks like baby powder
mm-hmm.
somebody has put on the leaves. And they have to be sprayed. If it was happening right now, I would use a dust. I wouldn't use the spray, just like we talked to Sue earlier.
Right.
I wouldn't use the spray. I think I'd use a dust. However, if you're growing knockout roses, those two problems are not near as evident as they are on the older roses.
Hmm.
So that's on our checklist. But if you're growing knockout roses, which are so good, they now come in different colors. I don't know if you need to watch out for that black spot and mildew too much as we go into the fall. So that was our third one. Okay, this is an easy one.
Okay.
Okay, we've talked about this. Fertilize your St. Augustine lawn in midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do it?
No.
That was the thing to do.
Okay.
As we got into, say, July.
Okay.
St. Augustine, even Zoysia, likes a little summer kick. And we've talked a lot about that here on the Garden Line. With a higher nitrogen,
mm-hmm.
put it out. And even if it's not as hot as it is now, if you put out some of the higher nitrogen products, it could burn it.
Ooh.
So you've got to be so careful that you use it just as the label says. That's important. And but using it now, even though it's on our checklist for summer, no dice.
Don't do it.
That's over. That's
okay.
Past history. We're going to start talking about the other thing to do fertilizer-wise when we come back from this break.
Okay, you heard it from the mayor himself, Mike Wiggins, our Garden Line host. We're going to be back with Pep Talk. If you've got a question, 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our expert is Mike Wiggins. He's here with us every Tuesday. And we've got a text that came in, Mike, and I'm not sure. Sometimes people use voice to text and the words get a little. So I'm going to read it exactly as written, and then I'm going to have you interpret it for me, okay?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Nice, Meg.
This one says, the only way to grow tomatoes here is to go to the tomato class. That makes sense. This is the line that I'm not sure of. I've Everman at the East Hill Edible Garden Ladies Song, her name Renee. We have to start seeds January 1st and get them in the ground very early in order to have tomatoes before the heat when it gets 70 degrees at night and more tomatoes. Hope that helps.
Very good.
Okay.
I'm not sure I totally understand everything in that, but let's just go ahead to the high points.
Yes.
One, a tomato class is a good idea.
That is a good idea.
It's a great idea. I'm imagining, I'm just going to say this, I don't know this for a fact, maybe some of the garden club groups have a tomato class.
Oh, that's true.
Or at least have a speaker come in to tell them how to do it.
For vegetable gardens.
For vegetable gardens.
Yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
Now, she mentioned Everman. I wonder if Everman, which is a great business here in Pensacola, is the place where they had the tomato class.
Okay.
I'm kind of making that up, just kind of to interpret.
The East Hill Edible Garden Lady. Yeah. I guess her name's Renee. So Renee. Maybe she's the one that teaches the class, maybe?
I didn't know. I guess Renee does teach. There's also a song, Renee.
I don't think it's the reference to the song.
Don't walk away,
well.
Renee.
The song, yeah.
Anyway,
that's true.
I'm sorry. I bet Renee is the teacher of the tomato class.
Okay.
Which is in association with Everman.
There you go.
Okay. Maybe so. Now, I do like what she's talking about, starting the seeds. Now, most people, I'm going to say most, that's probably wrong, many people do not start tomatoes from seed.
I've always started with a little seedlings that usually you can find at the store.
Well, exactly. That's where we're going with this, because starting with seeds is fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can start them in little peat cups, little peat moss cups.
Oh.
You know, and once they germinate, you kind of bump them up to a bigger pot, and then you can put them in the ground. It's a fun way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But she's right. You got to start early, before we get into periods of heat like we've got right now, if you're going to have good tomatoes. I totally agree with that. Now, a lot of people who aren't growing with seed will buy, like you say, will buy the transplants,
right,
which is just as good. But the point there is, remember, I've always said this, y'all know I'm repeating myself, Bonnie Plant Farm, out of Union Springs, Alabama, is one of the best growers in the Southeast.
No kidding.
No joke. And they supply many, many, if not most, of our garden centers in Pensacola.
Huh.
And they have quality plants. They're true to variety. And they sell many varieties of tomato plants. So that's where a lot of people will buy their plants.
Mm-hmm.
But what the person who texted us is right. You got to start early.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't put them out when you've got a chance of a freeze, but you kind of got to start early. You can't really wait till June and July and hope to have a lot of success. You're going to have the same success as David.
Right.
Which is no success.
And Meg. I'm just throw myself on the bus there.
But anyway, that's
got
a great text.
Back. I
hope I got it all right.
We got a text back from that same texter that says, oops, I was driving. I had a feeling. And says, yes, Everman's, and yes, Renee.
Renee's a teacher.
Yes, that's what I think, too. Yeah.
Very good.
Excellent.
Well, I'm going to ask, I hate her, if you could text one more time back to us. How does one know about the class? I assume you go to Everman's and they could tell you when Renee gives the growing.
Yeah, if you can text us back that info, that'd be great. We'll get it on the air for
everybody. That would be good. Good information. That's fun.
Okay. All right. So it's summertime. It's hot. We're reminding everybody to vote today, regardless of the heat. Get out and vote. You got all day to do it. It's air conditioned.
Be careful. Don't go out there and weed that lawn.
Not right now.
At noon today. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Okay. All right. Here's our next one on our list. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Follow proper watering and mowing methods. Well, that's something that really goes year-round, and we've talked about that this morning already, is you've got to mow it high. Do not lower that lawnmower. As a matter of fact, we had one person in Texas that said, what if I went to 5 inches on St. Augustine? That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
That would be just fine. But you do need to go ahead and follow those instructions and not scalp it. Boy, it looks so good when you first scalp it, but in this heat, it could easily promote some problems.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do that. Watering, we've talked a lot about that. You just got to get that water on it.
Okay, well, you were talking about bugs earlier, so one of our listeners just texted in, mealy bugs. They change in color, invading our Mandeville plants. What to do? Question mark.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Mealy bugs, if I'm correct, little white bugs.
They look mealy?
Yeah, they'll affect a lot of house plants.
Oh, yeah.
They really
yeah.
will. So I would just get me a little aerosol, houseplant insecticide, and spray it. And I think you'll get them.
Okay.
You just have to get them. But what you've got to do with mealybugs, you've got to get underneath the leaves.
Oh.
You can't just get to the top of the leaves.
Because they're hard underneath, to see.
Yeah, and they're on the stems, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get probably a very mild insecticide that's ready to use, labeled for houseplants, and I think you'll have it solved.
Okay. Great questions coming in this morning. Oh, go ahead. Yes, sir.
No, I was just going to say, I wish we were talking to the person who texted us. I want to know how their mandevilla's doing this summer. It's one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, okay.
One of my all-time favorite tropical plants. Over the years, I've grown them. I give up on them after when they freeze, and I plant them again the next year because they're so pretty.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Good morning. Just a few minutes left on the Garden Line. We got a response from our mealybug-prone listener who's having issues with that with their mandevilla plants. Said, Mike, we started with three mandevilla plants. Mainly mealybugs overwhelmed one, but two are still growing strong! Exclamation point. So that's good news.
Well, that's good. And on the mealybug, I'm going to say one more thing very quickly. That using that houseplant insecticide is in reaction to this heat.
Oh, yes.
There's some stronger things we could use, but I really would hesitate to use it on those mandevillas.
Okay. Very good advice. So thank you for following up with us on that text. And we got another text from our friend Karen. Just wanted to say, she says, I just attended. Now, this clarifies in previous text that we had from about Renee.
About Renee.
Yes.
Right, okay.
So Karen says, I just attended an event last week, and Renee was one of our presenters, Renee Perry with East Hill Edibles. There you go. Check out their Facebook page for more information on the classes. And she's also at the Palafox Market.
Well, how about that?
Perfect. Thank you so much. Go. Now we got it clear.
We learned so much.
Yes, it's fantastic.
Show. Our listeners are unbelievable.
You guys are the best. That's our research committee right there. our research department.
They didn't show up this morning.
You know, they didn't really, did they?
Too hot.
Yeah. They're snoozing with the ice pack on their head.
Okay. All right, here we go. We only have a minute left, so I'm going to do one of the last checklists for summer.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Begin planning your fall vegetable garden. We've talked a little bit about that. Fall bulb planting and fall blooming plants and planting of perennials that will come back year after year. That is very timely because if you're like David, all of your vegetable plants have burned up, it's time to look ahead.
Okay.
To see what can we do for fall. So we'll start talking about that next week.
All right. So stay safe, everybody, in this heat.
Yes, be careful. Be so careful.
Go vote.
Yes, vote. Very, very important.
Very important to vote. This is the Garden Line. We're here every Tuesday from 9 to 10. And you can hear the broadcast on Saturday mornings right here on News Radio 92.3.
Meg, you're the best.
No, Mike, you're the best.
This was fun.
You're the best. We love you much and so much great knowledge. Thank you so much for hosting the Garden Line on Pep Talks.